This conference will.
So we're going to talk about the 10 steps to make your 2010 goals work for you, okay? So let's really emphasize that we want to work on how do I make sure they work. And this is a great 10 steps, and we're going to tie it back into our Daily Dozen tracker sheet as well, because I want everybody to be using that Daily Dozen tracker sheet. It's been real successful in my organization, just finding out what people are and aren't doing, and we can talk more about that at the end as well. But 10 steps to make your 2010 goals work, because now that you've got your goals in place, if you've really set them, one of the things you go, well, Mary Jo, but, you know, I set goals all the time, and I never get it. I hear all this back talk, and I go, come on. That's not, you know, goals are critically important for your life. I said, so let's look at how you can ensure that your goals are met. If you had an insurance policy around meeting your goals, wouldn't that be a cool thing? So I'm going to give you a track to run on. Today's our track to run on. How to ensure that we meet our goals for 2010. And so let's look at the 10 steps around this and then tie them back into our daily tracker sheet as well so everybody gets that. These are principles that are just so ingrained. They are so absolute. There isn't just listening to Mary Jo. It's not just reading one book. This is a lifelong aggregation, but many lifetimes of aggregation of data and collection of what makes things work and what things cause you to fail. Failure is optional. Success is a choice that you can make for your life. So you just got to make the choice. It's a choice that we make. So let's look at the 10 steps and how we can put these in place. Number one step is design your year. And we already talked about that. We're going to design the year with the end in mind. So what does 2010 look like for you? That's part of the goal setting. That's part of the vision. That's part of the work that we have done over the last couple of weeks. We need to focus, get really specific. And now that you have your goals, most of you who've done them or the people who haven't, when you get them done, okay, from our as outlined in our December 14 call, you want to look at them. And I tell people to pop out 10 of the most important ones. 10 of the most important ones. Because remember, we had like 6 different categories of goals, and we're going to try to get 2 to 3 in each of those categories. So you might have started off with 20 goals. You might have started off with 30. Everybody's different. We all have different things we're trying to achieve. But I want you to isolate down 10. And some of you might even choose to isolate down 5. But pick on those and get very specific with them. Get very specific. So if you put, I want to be a national director by the end of 2010, that's not very specific. Why isn't it very specific? Well, national director means 6,000 of GPV, but you could be a national director and have 18,000 of GPV. So when you have that variance of 6,000 to 20,000 in terms of becoming a national director, saying that you're committed to being a national director by December 2010 doesn't tell me where you're going to fit in that, you know, span of GPV. Are you going to be at the lower end at 6? Are you going to be at 12? Are you going to make senior national? Are you going to be like closer to executive director and be at 18? So you've got to choose that number. So get more specific with it. Try to really hone in on those details of what it means to be national director. So you're going to get very specific about national director or whatever that is, director status you want, very specific about GPV. And when I tell people to draft goals, I try to tell them to draft goals. Don't put a limit on your goals. So in other words, it says at least 8,500 of GPV. Does that make some sense? So that when you focus and say, I'm going to be at 8,000 GPV, that causes people to climb up and they just get as close as they can and then they buy the last $300 to get to 8,000. I don't want that to happen because I don't want 8,000. I want you to be saying that's a minimum that you're going to reach. So that you open up the possibilities in your universe for you to get to 10,000 or 12,000. Because if you don't ever want to set a goal that puts some kind of cap on how far you're going to get. And then what is that GPV, what does that look like in your downline? Take a peek. If you're not doing a real analysis of your downline, and some of you may be brand new and you're making a commitment to be national director by the end of the year, and I think that's terrific. I think it's more than doable. I don't think it's risky. But maybe it's a little bit risky for you because you're only going to dedicate, 10 hours a week or 8 hours a week to your Manatech business. So then maybe it is, a little stretch for you. But the idea is, what is it going to look like in your downline? For those of you who already have pre-existing downlines, you need to look at where your business builders are, or where you perceive them to be, or who you perceive is going to step up. Maybe you haven't had those discussions with those people. But that's what you want to do, is you want to see, if I'm going to get the national director, does that mean I'm going to have regional directors in each of four legs, or three legs, or where is that volume going to come from? So you take the chart. Albal has supplied us with charts, and you can draft your own. They're not hard to draft. Or you can take your chart and you can fill in where you see that volume in each of those three or four legs or whatever it is that you're working with. Hopefully not too many more than that. But see where that volume is going to come from. And that's what I'm doing even at my level, but I have more legs than that because I have more active business builders, but I'm looking at each leg and I'm saying, okay, where do I see my volume growth for 2010? I can't just say I'm going to be at this. I want to say, where's my volume growing? And maybe I don't know very well, but what I'll do is I'll then project maybe each of my legs goes up by 10 or 20%, whatever that number is, to get to the number I say. You follow me? But you want to be really precise with that because you don't want to leave anyone behind. Setting your goals with more precision is going to work more effectively for you because then your attention will be spent on those specific areas. We sometimes get caught up in running away with one active associate in our downline, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to leave people behind. So that's another reason why you spend some time looking at the specifics and getting very, very exacting with what that looks like for you. Okay, so that's just an idea, and you can apply these same principles and concepts to goals in any of the categories that you've set up for yourself. But really try to get real specific about what that's going to look like. And it can be different. It doesn't, but again, and you can use language, honor before or at least this level, that gives you some flexibility in them so they don't have to be like ground in stone. But you want to give as much specifics as you can with that level of flexibility in the languaging. Is anyone having problems with this? Do I have any questions from anyone on the call? Because you have questions, now is the time to ask because I'm here to answer them for you. Or you can go to your upline or cost line and get some answers as well. But this process of goal setting is so crucial that you get it done. Okay, so we're grabbing on to 5 or 10 of those most important goals for ourselves, and we're getting very specific warm. We're getting so specific that we can really actually taste what we're going to experience in 2010. And the idea here is the more you stoke your desire, the more it will grow to be consuming, obsessive, pulsating, and burning. So you want to continue reinforcing it. It's one of the reasons why you see on your daily dozen tracking sheet, what do you do on a daily basis? Review your goals. Isn't that incredible? So this fits right in with our daily dozen. We're talking about stoking those goals. We review those goals. I'm going to tell you, the people that don't do that are telling themselves they don't believe in them. They're leaving them behind. You don't want to leave your goals behind. You want to bring your goals with you every day. Take those goals with you. They become a part of you. And that's how you have to look at it. Make those goals a part of you. Going forward, they're a part of you. Okay? So focus on them. Make them a part of you on a daily basis. I talk to people a lot, and they say, well, I'm having a hard time focusing. If you're having a hard time focusing, like you set a goal and you have a hard time focusing on it, I'm going to suggest to you that you need to look back at the goal. There could inherently be a problem with the goal. In other words, is it really your goal or is it someone else's goal for you? Why is the goal important to you? You start asking those questions of yourself, because if there's something inherently remiss about the goal itself, you are going to have a major disconnect. And that's when the disconnect occurs, then you've got to go back and evaluate, is the disconnect just because I feel I'm out of my comfort zone? Is the disconnect because there's some risk involved in it? Or is the disconnect because I don't feel any connection to the goal? It doesn't seem to be mine. It seems to be somebody else's for me. You've got to have your heart into that goal or it won't be effective for you. So ask those questions. Is it really your goal or someone else's goal for you? Why is the goal important to you? Is it a big enough goal? Is it a big enough why? In other words, how does it tie into the vision you've created yourself as a beginning foundation for goal setting? Does it not tie into your vision, or does it tie in the vision? If it doesn't have impact on the vision, then your goal may not, you know, that could be causing a disconnect as well. People sometimes set goals that don't have any correlation with the vision in their life, and I think that's hard because then you can't accomplish it. Sometimes the connectiveness to your vision is removed. In other words, it's three levels away. Like getting to national director isn't going to create that foundation that you want to set up, which is your vision, but it is a step in the direction because it's a step in getting to executive, which is a step to getting to presidential, which is a step to getting to platinum. So all of those things are in your vision, but you can't disconnect with the first step. You got to start with that step, but you got to build that and have clarity around it. That the why is out here, but here's step one. And I know one of our problems in our society today is that we don't have the patience. We're a now society. That's why we don't take care of our health for the most part. That's why you come across people that eat garbage and eat bad stuff for themselves, because they're in the now. They want the pleasure of the taste now. I had an interesting experience around that this weekend. I went to a deacon's Christmas party, and, you know, they brought out all these chocolate cakes, and I like chocolate, but I looked at them, and I was like, you know what, I really don't want that. I went and got a bowl of fruit, because it's just a choice about being in the now. I don't need pleasure of chocolate that moment. I was just like, you know, I really, and another thing that's important to me is that I reflect that health and wellness that I so, you know, am so committed to. I don't want to be a bad example for people. So they're just get out of the now and look at what is this going to create for me down the road. That's a wonderful thing. That's what's caused havoc in this country. And I can get on and on about the savings rate being below zero, negative savings rates, all the things that we've done in this country. Because we wanted to live in the now. Well, no more. Our nows look pretty bad because we created them. Now we need to go back and say, what makes sense? So look at your goals from that perspective and quit trying to live in the now and be able to plot and plan and say, I can get excited about getting to regional director. Even though it's not going to be presenting me the money that I need, I can get excited about it because I see it as a step in a process. And then the other thing that I asked you to do last week was also putting down what are the consequences if you do not achieve your goals. Did anyone do that exercise you might want to share? Anyone on the call today who's done the exercise about what does it look like if I don't achieve it? Okay, no one wants to share. I guess people are going, ugh, I don't want to share how ugly it looks if I don't achieve it. Yeah. I can understand that a lot because I get that one. Okay, but that's a good exercise because the exercise will start saying the price you pay. A lot of times we need to know the price we're going to pay before we really get motivated. But other people don't need that. I just need to know that I can't achieve my goals unless I do what I say I'm going to do. I need to get out there and do it, and I need to do it now because, you know, there's time is a precious commodity. So everybody get that. Really re-examine the goals. Make sure you're sound with your goals as well so that you're not disconnecting with them because they should be something you feel very committed to when you get done with them. And then the final thing I put in the outline was just a quote from Robert Schuller who said, goals are not absolutely necessary to motivate you. They are essential to really keeping you alive. It's an intriguing thing. And that didn't start with our generation. That started with primitive man. You set a goal that you had to go out and get meat for the day because if you didn't, you weren't going to be alive at the end of the day. So we have the same thing. We just live in a more of a luxury environment than they did years ago, but we still need to have those goals, and the goals have to be something that we meet because otherwise our life will just go from like a blade of grass, you know, chance and circumstance. Okay, so everybody get that. Design your year with the end in mind, and that definitely is on your daily dozen tracker sheet in reviewing your goals, making sure that you have those goals. In order to do the daily tracker sheet, you have to have your goals set. So there is no question that this is a step that we're going through over the last 3 weeks of goal setting that has to take place in order to incorporate the daily dozen into your life. All right? So that's it. Great. Let's talk about the second one. Dream. Once again, dream is something that needs to be done on a daily basis. You need to start dreaming. You need to be setting aside 15 to 30 minutes every day to just think about the greatness of what you're in the process of creating. Get it clear. Don't go negative on yourself. Get it clear. You know, set yourself up for what? Success, not failure. So we want to be able to dream. So and nothing is stronger than a dream to pull you into the future. There's nothing stronger than a dream to pull you into the future. And visualizing is realizing. That's why we use visualizing a lot. It's one of those four core principles that's used in the MLM, Being the Best You Can Be, in MLM by John Kalinch. He talks about the principle of visualizing, of putting together a dream board, and that's one of the things I love to work with people on. So we need a dream board. Again, another typo, but you need a dream board just for 2010. What does your life look like in 2010? You need to put a dream board together that accentuates that 2010 look. And I think 2010 is going to be an awesome year for Manatech. It's going to be an awesome year for you and me because we're involved in a company with breakthrough technology that really changes the world. So what does our dream board look like for 2010? Let's start putting that together. Put those pieces on that puzzle. What are you achieving at the end of the year? And having a visualization there. That's going to help you dream as well if you have a dream board in your office so that you commit yourself to at least 15 minutes or 30 minutes of looking at that dream board and grabbing hold of it. This is another one. Dreaming is another one that comes off. This also comes off of the daily tracker sheet. If you look at the third item on your daily dozen, you're going to find out it says review your goals and dreams, right? Review your goals and dreams. It's on there for a reason. Because it's critically important, again, to keep that visualization going. So you want to make sure you dream for 15 to 30 minutes every day. The third item in my list is read 20 pages of a good book every day. Again, we find that on the daily dozen. It says read for 15 to 30 minutes. So what do you want to do? And you go, well, what book should I read? And I'm going to tell you, I find people aren't doing this on their daily dozen tracking sheet. And the people, when you don't do this, what are you robbing from? You're robbing from yourself. You're in a self-destructive pattern. When you don't read on a daily basis, you're in a self-destructive pattern. Why do I say that? Because I believe that we have two states of beingness. We're either green and growing or we're ripe and rotting. There is no concept of stability because there's nothing that's totally stable in life. It's either shrinking or it's growing. And we are the same as human beings. So in order to continue to grow, which is my choice, reading every day is absolutely essential because that's where I learn. That's where I become a better person. That's where I learn more things. That's where I become more knowledgeable. I increase my knowledge level. All these things are crucial to me as I move forward. So I look at that and I say, you know what, I'm not willing to bypass those things because I'm investing in me and I'm only going to invest in me. I'll invest in others as well. I do that every day. But if I don't invest in myself, what am I saying to myself? That I'm not worthy, that I'm not good enough, that I don't deserve it it's almost a self-condemnation process. So invest in yourself. And how do you do that? I think all of you within the next 2 weeks should spend the time to come up with 10 top books that you want to finish in 2010. Get your list so you don't have the excuse. See, what I get from people is, well, Mary Jo, what should I read? And I go, geez. I said, you should have two or three books sitting on your desk all the time that you want to get through. I do. I have people that make suggestions. Of course, they know I'm an avid reader, so they make suggestions to me about what books to read. And if I run out of suggestions from people, I have a bookcase that's still, there are probably at least 24 books on my bookshelves that I haven't read yet. I'm looking at them right now, and I just looked at about 10, and there's one in there that I got, wow, I remember getting that from a person to read, and I've never read it yet. So, you know, come to a list of 10 or so books that you commit to for 2010. And then you don't have to, you're not stopped. You don't say, well, I didn't read this week because I really hadn't decided what my next book would be. What? What do you mean? What a bunch of garbage. Boy, we convince ourselves and we rationalize a lot of stuff in our lives. There are books everywhere. You need a book suggestion, there are plenty of places to get them. In my pathway class, I send out a book list because I think they're so critical for people to read and learn from. And then, obviously, if you're going to read 20 books or 20 pages, I should say 20 pages or 10 books in 2010, you want to do what with the books? What do you want to do with the knowledge you gain from the books? You want to apply it to your life. So once again, I've attached to the outline today what I call, it's kind of my master page, book review analysis, it's called, the book review analysis. And you can do this by chapter or multiple chapters, whatever way you do it. I suggest each time you finish a chapter, you do a book review analysis. Why? Because it's so crucial for you to grow from what you just learned. What is it that you just learned? Grab something from it. A lot of people told me that when they started using my book review analysis, they found themselves going back and reviewing the chapter because sometimes they walked away with nothing, and they knew they couldn't possibly walk away with nothing. And I said, wow, that's powerful. And they found nuggets that they never saw the first time they looked. So what is it about you that you're not using some kind of book review form when you're reading good books? And it's how it applies to your life, and how are you going to apply it to your life, and what are you going to do differently? Because if books don't change your life, then they are just something to keep you busy. They're just things to keep you busy. And remember, we don't want to stay in busyness. What was our commitment? We want to be in effectiveness. We don't want to linger in busyness. We want to be in effectiveness. We want to be totally effective in 2010. We want to create the greatest possible results in our lives in 2010. So if that's where you want to be, what do we need to do differently to get there? That's what we need to start looking at. Okay? So reading books. Pick those 10 books. Make your list of them. Here's my commitment to the books. That doesn't mean you can't read other ones along the path. It just means those are the 10 books that you choose to read. Okay? And I don't mean romance novels. And some of you go, well, Mary Jo, but I'm... And I go, if you want to do that, I'm not dictating to you. And of course, I don't control your life in any way, shape, or form. You do that. But the important thing is if your choice is to read romance novels, then do that on your spare time. But I see people get into romance novels, they go, oh, I can't put it down. And I just think, oh, my gosh. To me, every time I see that, I just go, what a wasted life. I mean, most of that romance novel stuff is just garbage to start with, but, you know, it must be entertaining to some people. But entertainment is for certain times of your hours of the day, but not your business time. So your books I'm talking about here are books that are going to be insightful and meaningful. They're soul-searching. They're self-development. They're educational. They're financial. They're just everything that you need in growing as a person. They're spiritual. They're all the things that you need to start working on to apply in your life to allow you to be the strong, successful person you are. You can also look at, some people say, well, how do I start picking books? And I go, well, look at your to-be list. Remember we filled out? We circled leadership characteristics they all wanted to grow on. Remember? I did that. I had some fun with it. And the next step is to look at those leadership characteristics and say, okay, so if these are my leadership characteristics, how can I support myself to get there through books? Then you find books that support those specific characteristics. So how cool is that? That's a number one way to start because it kills two birds with one stone. It gets your book reading done. And it also gets you working on that to be in a big way. And then as you shift on that to be list, when you pick on a new characteristic, then you can pick up a new book. So maybe you start looking at the leadership characteristics you want to work on this next year, and you come up with a book list of 10 books just off of that, based on that alone. You'll be very successful with it. And last year, I started with a Book of the Month Club, and it didn't last very long. We kicked off, I think, the first month. I still want to work with Lydia and see what's the best way to work that with you guys, because I think that would be fun, is to do like a Book of the Month Club. And so that one Monday morning call is dedicated to the Book of the Month each month, and probably the last Monday of the month we'd do it. And so I'm still excited about that, and I need to talk to Lydia and see how we can incorporate that. So let's look forward to that in 2010 as well, so you can consistently be with me as we go through these different books, so that we'll have book reviews done and we'll have everybody on board. So I'd kick off like the first of the month. I'd say, here's the book for this month. If you want to join me, let's read it together. And the last Monday of the month, we'd do a review of it. And then we could do a real participation from you guys in the audience to really draw in what you got from the book as well. That's more powerful because it's the ability to share how meaningful the book was for you. So we'll look at that as a great possibility. I'll sit down with Lydia in the next week, and maybe we'll get a list out for you.
Mary Jo, I love that.
You love that idea?
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. It would help some of you that sometimes have a hard time choosing books or looking at books, and I just there's so many great ones out there. It'd just be a blast for me to do that with you. Okay.
I think more important for me, I have no problem choosing, actually. But winnowing is another thing. But really getting other people's input into this and having an accountability to get through it and think about it, so that it's not just reading it.
Great. Yeah, so we open up the last Monday call of each month would be like a book review club. We all get to sit and talk about it and take turns going around, whoever read it, just sharing the insights and how it, you know, what it means for their life. I think it's great. Because books are, they just have so much awesome, I mean, there's just such a great plethora of information and knowledge out there that we're leaving behind us if we're not, you know, investing in it. Okay, great. So I'm going to be committed to that this year, and we're going to make that happen, okay? I'm going to deal with Lydia over the next couple of days, and we'll try to get a list out and then get some feedback. If you guys would like to contribute with ideas about some books, then send me an email in the next week. That's something you can get done, and just with some suggestions that you might have. Because I'll take any suggestions, yeah. And it's fun to get it from the field because a lot of the books that I love so much and love to review are things that, you know, I've already read. So maybe you guys will come up with some things that I haven't read lately in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. If I read it 20 years ago, I can always go back and tackle it again. Okay, so reading. And again, we know that also is on, for the first three steps, design, dream, and read, all three of them we found on your Daily Dozen tracker sheet. Isn't that cool? And this is something I trained a year ago, so it wasn't, but I'm just giving you the support. That Daily Dozen sheet, this is why I love it so much. It really incorporates a lot of principles that are so near and dear to me and make so much sense. And just like Al said, this is based on years of experience in network marketing of what works for people. But I also believe you can take the same Daily Dozen and just tweak it a little bit, and you can apply it to any goal that you set, any your life in general, because it's just how to have an effective and successful life. Four is plan your work and work your plan. Oh, you know my favorite saying about that, failure to plan is planning to fail, okay? And a Quaker saying, when you pray, move your feet. I love that because it says, be in action, right? All right. Have a written plan, a 12-month calendar, include pivotal dates for accomplishing tasks. So once you get your goals set, what's your next step? Is to build the plan around those goals. So that's what you want to do. And then work the Daily Dozen, perfect the four core. Work the Daily Dozen. Every single day, work the Daily Dozen and perfect the four core, which is what? Those are the concepts we talked about earlier from Al about, you know, contact list, going out and contact and presenting and closing the people and getting them on board, okay? Those training, all that stuff belongs in your four core. You get proficient at that and you'll be successful forever. I mean, it just works. So make sure you have a plan. Read, dream, and work your business. That's all coming off. And where's the plan on your Daily Dozen? Notice if you look in your Daily Dozen, Your fifth item is plan your calendar. Wow, exactly what we're saying here. Plan your calendar. But they also talk about balance. Remember when we talked about the goal setting and we balanced it with six different categories of goals? Well, what does our daily dozen say? Plan your calendar. And it talks about putting in family and church and exercise. Whatever. All of that needs to be built in. So all your goals need to be incorporated into that calendar so you stay in balance. You get out of balance and you're not going to be worth much in any aspect of your life. And you're going to lose relationship. So make sure you stay in balance. So read, dream, and work your business. Focus on accomplishment, not activity. In other words, look for results. You concentrate on activities, but you look for results. So it's not busy, busy, busy like so many people do. We don't want to get caught in what we call the famous grist mill in 2010. That's not our idea. That's why I had you do the review of all the activities you did in Manatech in 2009. Where did you find yourself being busy, busy, busy and not creating any results? Well, you know, that famous definition of insanity comes back to us. If we keep doing what we've always been doing and expect different results, then we qualify in that insanity world. And I don't want you to linger there. I want you to do something different. And that's why I have you review each year what you did and what you didn't do and what are you going to do different in 2010. So critical to get out of the grist mill. Start something new. Do something different. I already have a lot of ideas. In fact, one of the big ideas is about this whole concept of meal replacement. I think we're selling meal replacements. We're marketing meal replacements this year. I love the idea. You've been marketing supplements for so long. Why don't you try to market a meal replacement so it doesn't impact anyone's budget? If your lunch used to look like this, how about your lunch looking like this? And if you can't do that because you're going out to lunch with people at your job, then you make it your dinner meal. But you know what? All we're doing is replacing one meal on a daily basis for you that's totally full of nutrition. And see what happens in your life. So I'm not adding any cost to your life. Because your average meal cost is $4 to $5, and I'm getting it for you for three, maybe, or four, or five. It might be five, depending on what they choose as their meal. So I just think it's a great idea. So if that's a great idea, in fact, I don't know. Maybe it's something that we need to develop more and do a Monday call on. If it would help you, I would be more than happy to do that. It's just we got to get a marketing plan out that really works with that, and that new brochure that we have is invaluable for that approach because it talks that through. And it's not limited to the three that they're giving you. You can create your own meal plan for somebody. But it's so much more sellable, I think, marketable, when you're marketing zero cost. I'm marketing a zero cost plan for you to be healthy. What is that? Meal replacement. Zero cost, because in effect all you're doing is shifting dollars from what you had been doing for that meal to what I'm suggesting for you. Yeah. So zero cost to improve your health. That's a great phrase for marketing as well. I think we have a lot of things we can build, and maybe we build some more tools. Manatech's been doing a pretty good job, so I'm happy with them, but maybe we come up with some new ones. I don't know. We'll surely work on it because we really want to go after this. Okay, so next. So that's what we're looking at is new ideas, new plan, making new plans, you know, and every single day part of the new plan is to work off of what? A to-do list.
Mary Jo?
Yep.
I think that would be a tremendous idea. I just finished reading the book Potatoes Not Prozac by Kathleen DeMasons. And that's what she says. She goes in a 12-step program. You say one day at a time. But she says, why don't you make one choice at a time? It deals with sugar-sensitive people. And this meal replacement, what you're saying, would be that one choice.
There you go.
Time, rather than one day at a time.
Isn't that great?
I think one day would be great.
What was the name of the book?
It's Potatoes Not Prozac, P-R-O-Z-A-C.
Oh, Potatoes Not Prozac.
Yep. It's addictive nutrition for sugar-sensitive people and alcoholics.
Okay.
But there's a lot of good news for anybody there.
Right. No,
I've read it. It's good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, you read it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, years ago.
Ah. Yeah. Great. Well, maybe that's something I use because you get caught up on that principle about making that one choice, and that's what we're telling people to do. Make one choice. Let's make one choice different in 2010 in your life, and that's the choice of meal replacement. Yeah, that's if I can tie it to some books or some theories, that'll just help the whole plan. Great, great, great. Thank you for that. I will look at that, and maybe we add some of that into our marketing materials. Great. Good, good. Okay, so yeah. See, you guys, I mean, it's just creative. It's just getting into a plan, building a new program, building a new plan, just attacking something and tweaking it. It doesn't mean what we've done in the past doesn't work. It's just about creating something different. And if you know me, if we don't create something different, I'm not going to be a happy camper because I really like to do things different. I believe change is imperative. I think if there's one thing that's constant in our life, it's called change, because our world around us is changing. And so if we don't start changing with it, we're going to be stuck back in the Stone Ages. Okay? So anyway, so let's work. And the to-do list they talk about, remember, they say making a to-do list and all that kind of stuff in here, that you have to have a to-do list. You want to, and I added to be on top of it because I want you to work on leadership characteristics. Well, look what's on your little Daily Dozen tracker sheet. List things to do today. Yeah, right. Isn't that great? I always do it the night before, but you can choose to do it, you know, whatever timing you want to put on it, but make it part of a discipline in your life. You need to work off of a to-do list. However that works for you, do it. I found myself trying to run it on a computer over and over again, and Lydia had it. Oh, look at your screen. Well, that wasn't working. I needed something in my hand. So I'm going back now to having a written to-do list. I want it in my hand because that's the way it works for me. That just happens to be me. Some of you might work off a computer well. I don't. But you need to do what works for you. But you have to have a to-do list. And again, that's right on your Daily Dozen tracker. And I love Albert Hubbard's quote, "Many people fail in life not for lack of ability or even courage, but simply because they have never organized their energies around a goal." Isn't that a sad? That quote is a great quote, but it's a sad quote to me. Because it's like we have failed as leaders if we're not getting people to organize their energies around a goal in their life. Number five, spend less than you earn and invest the difference. A lot of us need to learn this lesson. We've obviously learned big in the last 12 months about what the price we pay when we use other people's money. So the 80-10-10 rule is critical. One of my favorite books is The Richest Man in Babylon by George Clausen. And one of the reasons I love the book is because he really gives you a direction of what you need to be doing. And if you just follow those principles, you'll be the richest man. Maybe not in Babylon, but maybe in Dallas or maybe in Arlington or maybe wherever, right? But just, you know, it's about building multiple income streams. It's about guarding your treasures from loss. It's about taking appropriate action. It's just really cool. It's a great book. If you haven't read that one, I suggest that one. We probably won't put it on the reading list for next year, but it's a great book to be read. It's simply about life that's saying it's not how much you earn, but how much you keep. And I think that's why a lot of people, even in Manitech, a lot of the presidentials and people in Manitech had a really hard time over the last couple of years because they saw their business kind of fall off. All of us have seen our businesses fall, I can't speak for every one of you, but a lot of us saw our businesses fall off when the company went through its turmoil. But, you know, for some of us, it didn't impact our lives financially one iota. Because we had prepared for it. I didn't buy a bigger house. I didn't buy 10 cars. I don't do those kind of things. I just, you know, I tend to give my money away, invest it in things and invest in my future, put it in retirement accounts, because that's what I'm about. I'm about, you know, preparing for the future. I don't have the needs for today for all that elaborate, elegant stuff. So the important thing is that's part of just my upbringing and my training, and we all need to step into that in a way that allows us to have the freedom from debt, the burden of debt, and the burdens that it causes when things go bad in the economy. So learn our lessons so that we can be stronger going forward, and that's spend less than you earn and invest the difference is a great principle. Number six, manage your time. And again, this is a principle that's not found on your Daily Dozen. It's a concept, a principle of what you do in 2010. I'm suggesting with the ones that aren't on your Daily Dozen that you put these on your to-do list as permanent as the words to-do list is. So if you have a to-do list, You put down, you're spent. It's going to be, there are only three of them that don't really fall on it. It's 5, 6, and 10 on the list today in case we don't get to all of them. But those are the three things that I think that you put on your to-do list just as basic principles, because the rest of them are incorporated pretty well in the Daily Dozen. All right? So 5 is spend less. 6 is manage your time. And that's just really, and of course, putting together a to-do list and planning your day is a way of managing your time. But I think just the principle of understanding time management is something we should have in our face every single day. We should stare at it every day. It should be something that becomes a part of who we are. So you want to manage your time wisely. You pick one of your goals or to-be items and find some audio tapes. Remember, we talked about how to support yourself in that. Learn more, list activities for personal and financial growth. We talked about not only reading and listening to tapes, which are both on your list, on your Daily Dozen, but also what else can you do? It's about going to, like, Clemmer events. A lot of you went to the Clemmer Personal Mastery. I've got so many emails back from people I enticed to go to that. And it's just never-ending, the kind of responses I get from people that go through it. It's just overwhelming to just watch people experience these things and move ahead in their life, open their eyes to the greatness that's out there for them. It's incredible. So you want to commit to listening, applying, and growing with new knowledge as it comes to you. 7 is take action. And, of course, take action is, I call that on your Daily Dozen list because they give you specific action to take around Manatech. Make a minimum of 10 phone calls, show the plan, show the products and follow up, set up a new customer service, an existing one, use the product, be on auto order. There's your action steps. There are 4 of them. And so I see that take action is also on your Daily Dozen. Always move towards your goals. You always take action. And Al has done such a great job on the Daily Dozen with putting out the things that are going to make your business grow. If you guys are making 10 phone calls a day, if you guys are showing the plan and showing the products and following up with people every single day, if you guys are setting up a new customer service every single day, I guarantee you, this is your insurance policy. The Daily Dozen is your insurance policy with these principles we're talking about today for you to be successful in Manatech. How to get to reach your goals. It's insurance policy. The problem with us is we don't take it out. We don't invest in it. We don't pay for it. We listen to it. We said it sounds good. Okay, I can't wait to get started, but we don't do it. So you say to yourself, you go, why is it I don't know do what I know will work for me? Well, that's why I want you to go to Clemmer. Because personal development is lacking. It's something about discipline, something about belief systems in your head that are holding you back. So you got to dig and work on those things and put them aside so that you truly can accelerate forward in a way that'll be very successful for you, your family, and all those around you. But taking action is critical. You know, it's that old Nike saying, just do it. I like that statement. I got it up in my wall in my house. Just do it. With every decision you make this year, ask the question, what will what I am considering drive me closer to my goals or push me further away? So we want to analyze our everyday behavior. Look at your commitment to take unproductive action and see what drives you. So stay away from unproductive action. Take only productive action because that's your future. And make sure you're evaluating the action steps that you take, because if you're not consistent with your desired results, then it's not going to lead and guide you and direct you there. Action has to be consistent with the desired results. We get so caught up in being busy. I got some people in my downline, I'm telling you, they're absolute queens of busyness. Queens. And they go, oh, well, sometime I'll get there. And I go, yeah, that's right. Sometime you might. I'm not guaranteeing it, but maybe you will. I mean, just a choice. These are choices, people. And some people get angry. They'll say, Mary Jo, my family comes first, rah, rah, rah. And I go, I get it. Do you think my family isn't high on my list? But you can't use family as the excuse why you're not living your dreams. Because it's not an either-or world. Get out of that. There's your mental state. There's a belief system that might be challenging you. The either-or mental state is a farce. It's a laugher. It's false. It's one of those belief systems that you may have adopted for yourself because it protects you. It gives you a reason why you're not successful. Wow. Isn't that a tough one to listen to? Mary Jo, this is Christmas week. Don't get hard on us. Yeah, right. It isn't either or. You can be an awesome family member, and you can be an awesome businesswoman or businessman and be extremely successful at both. There is not an either or around those principles. So don't set yourself up for failure. Don't buy into your stuff. You guys deserve more. Okay? So take action. Don't buy into nonsense. 8, believe in your future. Believe in your future. The magic of believing, Claude Bristol. Here's a quote. Just believe that there is genuine creative magic in believing. And magic there will be, for belief will supply the power which will enable you to succeed in everything you undertake. Back your belief with a resolute will, and you will be unconquerable. Wow. Back your belief with a resolute will, and you'll be unconquerable. It's about believing. And where do we find belief? Do we find belief in there? Yeah, I'm going to tell you that I find belief in your daily dozen sheet under listen to motivational CDs. I think that's really about investing in you and believing, motivating you, keeping that belief system high. If you're not listening to motivational CDs, if you're not, you know, turning yourself on to greatness, some people are loving this 90-day challenge we're in because they find each day they get challenged, and it's like it helps their motivation. It helps them believe in something greater. Other people read the 90-day motivations, and all they do is linger in the past and get devastated and think about, oh, look at what I did in my life, and look at what this paper is, and it's so silly. I go, come on, get out of the past. These aspects of, you know, challenging items are not about what you did in the past. It's about what are you going to do in the future. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. The future's yours. You create it. It's that blank canvas. And isn't it amazing? Every first of the year I talk about you having a blank canvas. Some of you should get I have a little easel up here in my office. You should just get and put a blank canvas up. What fun would that be? And just spend some time over the next 2 weeks drawing on that canvas. Or start off the year and just start drawing on it, seeing what you create. Every day or every week, you draw something new on that canvas throughout the year. Because that's what you're creating. So have what you create right in front of you. Every day you get to see what you create. Maybe that's a great way to get you guys moving in a direction that you create greatness instead of, you know, lollygagging or postponing or procrastinating your life. But you got to have a belief. I believe. There are a lot of people that believe in you. But you got to take the first step of believing in yourself. Because that's a bunch of stuff that goes on for us too, in our heart, in our number two, you know what that means. We get into the self-esteem problems, which is craziness. It doesn't matter. Each one of you are created unique and with incredible gifts. And it's just what you do with that and how you fulfill your life with the great gifts that God's given you. It's just go out there and create it. So belief, so critical for us that we have that belief. So focus
very
on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was two quotes that I just recently put on my dream board, which just homing in on what you're just saying is during that movie, The Blind Side, when the homeless kid looked up and it looked at the school sign and said, "With man, this is possible, and with God, everything is possible."
Yeah.
And then, of course, the
That's
end
a great one.
Quote. Yeah, and then the end two quotes in the movie Invictus. Of course, the poem Invictus, it says, "I am master of my fate, I'm captain of my soul," which is exceptionally great.
Yes, great. And you just named the last two movies I've gone to see, and I think they're both awesome movies. For people who haven't seen them, you ought to go out and see Blind Side for sure. That's critical for all of us. All of us, it's critical. And Invictus is another great one, so recommend both of them. Great, and great quotes. Great quotes. Super quotes. Yeah. And that's a genius, yeah, you put down on a dream board and you're watching that every day, and that helps support your belief. Things, it's great. I just love, my greatest one is just what I take out of Scripture, when anything is possible through Him. It's like selective perception or selective adoption of Scripture if you don't believe that one. And if anything's possible through Him, then what's holding us back? Why do we hold ourselves down? Why do we put nails in our feet and slam and pin us to the ground? What are we doing? What is this concept? Anything is possible through Him, and we get to report in what we created when we knew anything was possible. It's about faith, right? Belief is, that is, what is faith? Faith is belief. Belief in something unseen, and we know where that comes from in Hebrews. So it's just, we need to really examine that. What's happened to our belief and get that back on track. So, but you got to grapple with those limiting beliefs. And I put that in there in the outline today because I think it's so powerful. It's stuff we buy into that we convince ourselves of. We use it as rationalization for why things aren't the way we want them to be. Persist, fully grasp the concept of share. This is the resolute will. In the quote of Claude Bristol, he says, back your belief with a resolute will and you will be unconquerable. That's called persistence, right? Persistence. Fully grasp the concept of sheer persistence. To maintain momentum, you must develop mental toughness. To develop mental toughness means minimize the effects of discouragement. In other words, find greatness out of everything that happens in your life. Find greatness in everything that happens in your life. So don't let anything discourage you. And turn every negative into a positive. That's, again, find greatness in what happens in your life. You're just not going to let people discourage you. You're not going to let things or anything that happens. I'm telling you, I deal with a lot of people in my coaching and what I do. I had a family that the husband just walked out on the family. I mean, I have all sorts of things, and all I want to do is love on these people because I lift them up. So that they too can have the belief that tomorrow's a better day. Tomorrow's a better day. But persist. Let the good old law of averages work for you. And where do we find persistence in our daily dozen? We find them in the action steps. Because our action steps say, what are we doing every day? We're doing this every day. That's the persistence. Of course, if you're not checking them off every day, then you're not persisting. People ask me, Mary Jo, I want to create momentum in my business. How do I create momentum? I say massive action creates momentum. You take massive action, you'll create momentum. And the last item of number 10 is build a support team. And, of course, that one's not on your daily dozen, but I think it's absolutely essential. It's essential in every area of your life. I'm even working now with my church. We got some issues going on, and I just said, you know what? This is what we need, a task force. We need a support team. We need a task force. We need to do something different. So that's what we're doing, moving in a new direction. Because we got to tackle these things. You don't just sit out there and try to do them yourself. You're not a one-man show. You're not a one-man operation. You build a support team. Find people around you. Every one of you on this call today has Mary Jo on your support team because you're on my Monday calls. So I serve as a method of a support to you. You're listening to the calls, you're participating in reading the outlines, you're applying these things to your life, hopefully. But you need to have another close-knit kind of support team as well. People that you can grapple with on a daily basis or weekly basis. People that are familiar with your organization, your strengths, your weaknesses, that can support you and drive you and motivate you and help you get things done that you may not get done if you had to do them yourself. So mentors are critical. Mentors, coaches are critical in your life, so find them. If you're working your business without them, you're making a grave mistake because now it's all about you. And life is never all about you unless you choose it to be so. But just as many gifts as you have, there are other people around you that have other gifts that can support you to be the best you can be, and that's what you want to tap into. You want to tap into all those people. So let's get that done. Get that support team together. Put together and ready and raring to go. All right, and back to 2009. Don't forget that we still have 2 weeks left, people. We got this week and next week, so let's try to get rid of some of those zeros. Renew your commitment to be proactive about your health, and use some kind of program to get out there. You can use the Christmas letter. I attached my year-end Christmas letter to the outline today, so now you all have it. That doesn't mean you need to use it. It just gives you an idea. If you haven't done one yet or you need to do one, you know, take some data off of that. It's a great way to get, you know, recollect your thoughts and get out there and make some good statements and positive looks at where we are today. I mean, I remember 12 months ago. Some of you may not remember it. 12 months ago, they were talking about the greatest depression we've ever seen in the history of mankind. And it was true. If we would have let all those banks fail, guess where we'd be today, people? I don't even want to begin to tell you where we'd be today. It's awesome what has happened. Everyone talked about their 401k becoming a 201k. Well, guess what? 70% of my 401ks, 80% in some instances, are back intact. I mean, that's a blessing, considering it went down to 40% of what it used to be. So, people, we got some blessings here that we forget. We only look at what we have right now. Oh, it's worse than it was a year ago. I hear this, and I just sit back and I listen to people, and I go, you know what? There are a lot of things that have transpired, but we got to look at what? The glass is half full, not half empty. Make lemonade out of lemons in your life. Make sure to thank all your leaders appropriately, whatever that might be for you. You might send out a calendar to all your leaders. Get something in the mail to them. Drop them something, a Christmas card, a thank you note, whatever it is, an acknowledgement. Yeah.
Mary Jo, I have a question regarding exactly that. I was going to order some things to send out to some of my leaders. And have you seen or do you know anything about the wellness guide? That's something that Manatech has on their list?
No.
Okay.
Is it the one that Jeff Allen made?
It might be. It says a thorough reference tool to help associates answer questions about our company.
That's not a bad thing to send out to your leaders.
Yeah.
I have one. I don't use it when I talk. I would not use it, you know, in a presentation like some people are trying to represent they do, but it's not a bad reference guide. It's it's not a
so
bad.
So if you were going to pick like a couple of things of tools, what would you?
That'd be a great tool. But I always love, you know, just getting them a 2010 calendar, like one that they can do their, you know, with their gas mileage or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always useful things that you can give them that would help them. But that, you know, they're just, you don't have to spend a lot of money on this. Just make it something that's, you know, valuable to them. The other thing you can do is get them a book. You can go on Use Books and get, depending on how many people you're sending to, and get them a good book. I used to send out books all the time because I love my people reading good stuff, you know, feeding their brain. So that's another idea. Yeah. Yeah, there's just a lot of things. I think that the reason I wouldn't, Susan, probably send out the wellness guide is because the wellness guide to me it looks like I'm trying to push them into getting active in the business or something. You know what I mean? It's almost like I only care about you if you're doing Manatech. And I want my people to know I care about them whatever they choose to do.
Yeah.
I just love on them.
Okay.
Because,
anyway,
you know,
I'll eventually
I'll get them back in the mission.
Yeah. I also want to thank you, Mary Jo, because you are there every single Monday for all of us. And that's amazing because, you know, you're what gets me started every week, you know. And,
right.
And you know, we talk about listening to motivational speakers, and I know that you are that for so many people. So just
thank you
for everything.
Thank you. And now you know why I do it Monday morning, too. Okay. Yeah. I want everybody to get started off on their week on the right foot.
Yeah.
So, okay, guys, you got a lot of work ahead of you. Get those goals done. Get to work on that. Touch the lives of the people in your organization in a loving and caring way. So they know you really care about them, and that's important because that buys more intangible goodwill than you could ever believe. And it's about stepping up to the plate and being a difference in their lives and pouring into them. And all I want to do is end the call by telling all of you, have a very, very Merry Christmas, and just enjoy family, friends, and enjoy the holidays. For those of you who don't celebrate Christmas, enjoy your holidays that you do celebrate. It's such a wonderful time of year. It's such a giving time of year. It's such a loving time of year. And we just always got to keep our focus on, you know, the selflessness that we need to pervade in our society. We need to be giving and giving, and we need to be, you know, being the best we can be so we can give the most that we can give. And that's how I look at this world. And So I just pray for all of you. I keep you all in my heart and in my love, and I just pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week this week and come back reinvigorated in 2010, because we have a lot of greatness going on in 2010. Love you all. Have a great week.
God bless you, Mary Jo. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. God bless you all.